when others that are
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, good day to everybody. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm with my great brother and good friend,
Pastor Barry.
Yes, and tonight we're going to have some fun. We hope you're going to have fun with us, too. I say fun because the Spirit of God is moving. It's really great. Tonight, the theme is Christians are commanded by Jesus to pray for our enemies. And, you know, this we were talking before we started recording and say, you know, we know this is true, but it's a hard sell, I guess, for some people who have been serving for a long time. And then, you know, suddenly they hear something, and I hope you're going to hear something you haven't really heard before tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make you think and make you pray, maybe get on your knees about it, because this is crucial. You know, this is crucial. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive others as God forgives me. And then paraphrasing, I forgive others, I receive forgiveness. It's a give and take. But Who is our enemy? And I think we're going to be looking at that.
Oh, we're going to dig nice and deep here.
Nice
this
and deep.
This is good stuff.
And it's like a deep tissue massage. It feels good after, but during, it hurts. My brother Barry is going to read tonight from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The word of the Lord.
Amen. It is. Now, that's a command of Jesus.
It's not a suggestion.
No. In fact, there are several commands. If you have a strong heart and some time, go into the Gospels and read through everything Jesus said. His commandments are pretty clear.
Right.
And the reason is, you know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:16-20, Jesus himself gives the command to teach others to know his commands and do them, which means you, when you're hearing that Great Commission, knowing it applies to you as a minister of the gospel, is you got to know his commands to know what to do. And to bring others along.
If there's no minister of the gospel standing by, then you, my friends, you have an opportunity, if not an obligation,
to share
the commandments of Christ.
And the hardest thing, I think, is as a believer to know that our example is going to speak much louder than our words, you know. And I don't want people to have to see me in my life and they're hearing this phrase, do as I say and not as I do, because that, you know, my witness needs to be so visibly serving God. And of course, how can I do that without God's grace? I have to have God's grace, and so do you. So when we say this and you're saying, oh, how impossible that might be, I don't think I could do this. well, you know, nobody can without God's grace. So you have to ask for his power, his authority, and he already has said he'll give it to you.
But you got to ask.
You got to ask.
You know, my Bible tells me that Paul said that we're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, but a peculiar people. And I imagine when the world began to hear this about those Christian people, they're forgiving their enemies, like, that is such an alien thought. They are peculiar. They're different than us. Well, that's the point. We are different than the rest of the world.
Yeah.
We're not of this world. So that's why when you just said, you know, you need to preach this and teach this by the way in which you live.
Absolutely.
Living that peculiar Christian life. When we first looked at this, David, I was thinking on the simpler side of things, because David was asking, well, who's our enemies? And that's a great self-examination. Who is your enemy?
Yeah.
And on some days when you're particularly aggravated about things, and then you go to a supermarket parking lot,
yeah,
and you're waiting for that special spot, and you've got your blinker on, and someone just darts right in and takes it from you,
yeah,
well, you might think at that moment that's your enemy.
Well, you know, in a way.
Or you're being tested, at least, by someone.
But, you know, in a way, it depends on our attitude, brother. But, mm-hmm, you know, at that particular moment in time, and I'm speaking now from very recent experience.
Okay.
Is that, you know, I'm still working on rehab for the hand surgery. By mm-hmm the way, those have been praying for me. Thank you so much.
His hand looks great.
The hand looks great. I still have to wear a splint, mostly. And I'm still having therapy, but I believe in a week or so I'm going to be out of all that. And I'll be said, you're healed as best you can be, and don't ever want to see you again. But
you know, you still can't play the piano.
I couldn't before, and I don't even want to, brother. But, but I said I could right now. But anyway, so when I go to this place where the doctor is, and there's also the therapy, I mean, there's four floors of doctors, nurses, and other people. All doing. Apparently, everybody in the Western Hemisphere goes to this place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't get there in time, you can't get a parking space.
Right.
And you end up cruising through the lot. And one day earlier this week, I had a therapy appointment. And I got there about 20, 30 minutes before the appointment. Well, the parking lot was, there was no space.
Mm.
You know, and then you're driving along and you see, oh, there's a space. And then you get there, and it's one of those shorter cars. You just couldn't see it.
Yes.
So you get there, built up my excitement. But and then on this particular day, I think it was Monday, or I think it was Monday. But so anyway, I see it. There's a space.
Mm-hmm.
And I start heading for it, and this little car goes zip around the corner, sees it, and pulls in. So
ooh,
I ended up having to park in a business across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And walk over, which, okay, I can walk.
Well, it's not really an enemy. That's more of an aggravating individual.
They don't hate you, David.
They
don't hate me. And my attitude toward, again, was not that. But I know how sometimes, you know, a person we've never met before does something that clashes with our expectations for what we want to
mm-hmm
do,
mm-hmm,
you know. And there are times, okay, what we want to do could come under the heading of a little bit of pride there, you know.
Ah.
And so we become angry. We choose to be angry. And anger in itself is not the problem. It's what we do with it after we're feeling it. And so, you know, okay, as an example, you go on the YouTube and you type in the search engine thing there, videos of people angry in parking lots.
Okay.
And you'll see people actually, I mean, I don't actually watch this all the time, but mm-hmm, I was just curious about it. You'll get several videos of people who are driving their car into somebody else's car because they got into their space first or something, yelling at people. All right, the point is, if you lose it, we all get angry, but if you don't give that anger to God, that person for that moment in time is your enemy. So that's one way of defining it. We also have people that don't like us, and we know they don't like us. Some mm-hmm we work with. Maybe there's our superiors at work. Could be family members.
Mm.
Could be, again, that instant moment, somebody we never met before, weren't on our enemy list. Suddenly they became right someone that opposed us. What does mm-hmm an enemy do? They oppose us
right
for whatever reason. And so this is why Christians have to be prayed up and deepen the word and remember those circumstances to give that to God, because whether it's the person that stole your parking lot or the guy that wants to kill you on the very way under the other end of that spectrum, and I hope no one out there is trying to kill you, but the point is there are some people trying to kill some people, that, we have to protect ourselves and do the right thing and pray for them. And,
well, you know, back in the day when John Paul II, the Pope, was shot, I don't think the world realized how serious his gunshot wounds were.
No.
But they came within seconds of losing him. And there was a very painful recovery because he had a lot of abdominal surgery and putting things back together that were blown apart. And one of the first things he did when he was able to walk and talk was to go to the jail cell
yeah
and forgive the man who wanted to kill him. And apparently it was heartfelt on both sides, where both men were in tears.
Yeah.
And it was just a Jesus moment. And although the other fellow was not a Christian man, for someone to come all the way to him after he had just about blown him away,
right,
in kindness, with his hand out in friendship, forgiving.
Yeah.
Extreme example, yeah. Are we ever going to go through that? I hope not.
I hope not.
But I think when you do go through that, like David said, you need to pray for the grace, because we need to overcome our human nature.
Yes.
You know, those feelings we have deep down inside, and some of those feelings could be private. Some of it's your animal survival instinct.
Yeah.
You know, I will eliminate my enemies, you know, so I will be safe and my family will be safe. Right. You know, right now in the Ukraine, I'm seeing people standing in front of tanks.
Yeah.
Not shooting, but begging for them to leave their land. And
yeah.
Their President Zelensky, I think that's his title, actually got on TV today saying, "We don't wish to kill Russians. We don't want to.
Right.
We have no choice."
Yeah.
You know, these are things that, this is big league stuff, the big league, yeah. You know. We're talking about parking lot problems, but we also have family issues where, and perhaps some of you out there have the same issue, where it's unresolved anger. Yeah. Unforgiveness that festers for a day, a year, a decade, where the family is not cohesive anymore, and they have to meet in separate camps, if you
right.
will,
yeah,
because of unforgiveness,
yeah,
where they're viewing their own family members as the enemy.
And so I think what we've said up till now, both Pastor Barry and I, is to say there are several layers mm-hmm. of experience in the human life where we have people that we have enmity with, which is that root word where enemy comes from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that on one extreme, you have like what's happening in Ukraine right now, but it's nothing any different than wars that have happened throughout the ages. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just different weapons, but people are defending their land. We should, and I should say at this point, because some people say, well, the Bible says you shall not kill. That's my paw voice. Those of you listen to the right
paws in the room,
because, but what it really says when you translate the Hebrew in the what we call the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not commit murder.
Murder, right?
Because murder is a willful and wanton taking of another life. And we see that happening a lot, and we also will see Christian families who have lost someone to murder coming around after they've gone through the grieving and their own anger process and giving it to the Lord and coming around to willingly forgive the person who did that. And we say, oh, that's counterintuitive to what it means to be human. But
it is, David.
It's superhuman. Mm-hmm. It's supernatural, because at that point, people are doing exactly what Jesus commanded them to do. But personally, and Barry knows this very well, is I am firmly convinced that people should defend themselves when mm-hmm. they're in mortal danger, whether it's an individual walking a dark street at night and being accosted by somebody, or an entire nation coming under an attack from another nation like Ukraine and Russia, mm-hmm. that those people have a right to defend themselves in however right. way they can. And I pray for them that they would prevail.
Thank you for saying that, because people who are watching the news, if they pay a little bit more attention, they're going to see churches in Ukraine. These are not heathens. These people are Christian folks.
Yes.
And if I may be so bold, some of the Russians are Christian folks too.
Yeah, they're conscripted.
Right. They don't want to be
there.
They've
been ordered to be there.
Right. But, you know, there's so many layers to this. And something we touched on before we came on the air was there's also, you might view yourself as an enemy because you can't forgive yourself
yeah.
for things, decisions made, regrets, things like that, where, and that's a real enemy if it's stopping you from fully embracing God.
Yes.
An enemy really is someone who is trying to maybe prevent you from being close to God and having a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
So I have a story. When my father was in World War II, he fought in the South Pacific in certain scenarios where he ended up on islands doing hand-to-hand combat. And when we would go to church as kids, we had five children in the family. Mom and the five children went to church every Sunday, but Dad would not come in for a good 15, 20 years after World War II. He wasn't going in. Now, he had a lot of unresolved issues from the war, but he also never forgave himself for all the faces that he had remembered of the people that he had to kill.
Yeah.
And so as we were waiting, there was our father in the car smoking, and we had no pastor that day because he was in the parking lot smoking with my dad.
Oh, wow.
With his
cool
head in my father's window. So my father was having his own little church moment out in the Buick. Mm-hmm. So we looked out the window, and my dad suddenly came into church.
Mm.
And all eyes were on my father. And when we got home, we said, we got to know what happened. He says, oh, he asked me why I wouldn't come in. I said, I killed a lot of people. And he said, today? He said, no, in the war. And he said, well, you know you were at war, which echoes what you were just saying, David.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, but I saw their faces, and I can't forget what I did, and I can't forgive myself.
Yeah.
And so he was a priest. He said, oh, well, by the blood of Christ, your sins are forgiven, so you have no reason not to come into church. And my father never missed church after that. Something happened that day where he was given permission to forgive himself. He needed that. He needed someone to guide him through that process to say, you know what? You need to forgive yourself because God forgives. And who are you to say, well, that's not enough.
Exactly.
You forgive yourself.
And that's a recurring issue for believers. No matter what the intensity of your enmity is, your anger, it all gets back to God is so willing to forgive you. You know, without you having to go through, you know, all the song and dance and forms and triplicate, when you just ask for it and he is willing to forgive you, we should be willing. Now, maybe not at that moment. When the anger dissipates, that's a great time to give it to God.
That's right.
And say, all right, Lord, I know, you know, I've had these thoughts. They're horrible, you know, or maybe I've done and said some things that to hurt that person, but give me the grace to forgive. Right. I know there are people listening to this program right now who have similar experiences you shared about your dad. And I have, as when I was a hospice chaplain and I had several very elderly men of all races who had dealt with or did not deal well with that issue of wartime killing. Because, and I had one older black gentleman, he was in his early 90s, and he had been carrying this guilt with him since the 40s when he was. And when I asked him, we started to get to know each other, and I asked him what his spiritual concerns might be that keep him from getting closer to God, because he was also a church-going man and he loved Jesus. But he said, well, he talked about he was a ground soldier during World War II in Europe, and they were, it's toward the end of the war, they were advancing on Berlin, and it was face-to-face, hand-to-hand in a lot of cases.
Right.
And he had this incredible guilt. And so I just said to him, I said, well, first of all, I said, this was a war. You were fighting for someone else's freedom, and really for ours too, because the United States wasn't immediately threatened, but, you know, the Nazi regime, they were going to, you know, once Europe was under their hand, they were going to go and take as much as they could. And it was atrocity after atrocity. And so I laid it out for him. This is, you know, you weren't murdering. First of all, you didn't go there with the idea, I want to kill as many as I can.
Right.
You went there to serve your country and to help those other nations, the other allied nations, win a war that was evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through the whole thing, you know, and pulled in scriptures and everything. And at the end of that conversation, they could just see him visibly relax. And he just wept and said, thank you.
And the healing began.
The healing began. We talked, had a prayer of healing, and, you know, recognizing that, yes, God forgave him for the things that, you know, that were done, and used that as a template for every other issue of forgiveness that he hadn't dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a wonderful time, many months together, working through this. He worked through a lot of stuff. It started with that. But by the in a couple of months, this guy was, you wouldn't have recognized him. He was had so much peace. And so I'm saying it's true for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a listener saying, well, that may be true for them, but not for me, you're no different.
You're no different.
Get it out of your head that you can hang on to these anger issues, this unforgiveness stuff, because you know what? It's only hurting you. The people you're angry with, they are probably even clueless.
They're clueless. They're off having a picnic, having a beautiful day. The sky's blue. The birds are chirping. And
yeah.
You're holding on to it. You know, recently a friend of mine at work lost her family member to gang violence in West Palm Beach. And she said something that kind of stunned me, but just warmed my heart as I was presiding at the funeral service for this young person. She wanted to say something, and she got up, and she was proclaiming publicly that she wants to meet the shooter that killed her granddaughter so that she can take that person by the hand and bring them to Christ.
Mm. Wow.
That's above and beyond the call of duty, if you will. She forgives him, and she wants to make sure that his soul's not in peril. Wow.
Yeah,
David, you have an expression, you coined the expression 24-karat Christian, and she indeed is one of those.
Wow.
But when the people left that funeral service, I'm sure there was talk about that on the way home.
I would think.
Seeds were planted, particularly those who have lost other loved ones. It's a rough neighborhood. And so maybe they haven't forgiven yet. You'll hear people who are not believers say they had to turn the news off because they couldn't stomach the fact that that mother or that father of the victim was forgiving that person on TV.
Yeah.
I can't watch that. I got to change the channel. Why? You might learn something.
Yes.
You might be able to clear your own mess out of your heart that you've been dealing with and holding on to for so long.
And if you happen to be one of those people that just can't handle when somebody else forgives somebody, then if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, go to Luke chapter 15. Halfway through there is the story of the prodigal son.
Yes, yes.
And to read the whole story, but put yourself in the position of the older brother. Because when you get to that, Jesus is all, not just telling a story of forgiveness and what when life changes in the power of the Spirit, but he also wants to point out that there are people that are not going to be, they have expectations unfulfilled, and they get angry when somebody else is forgiven, and they get kind of, it's a pity party kind of thing.
Yes.
And so while the older brother was having his pity party, the father was throwing a celebration party because his son finally had come around. And so we've got to get this. Friends, this is a teaching that we all, and you know, Barry and I are no different.
Nope.
We're no better off than you. We're not perfect. You know, I hope that we don't leave this station here tonight and have someone pull out in front of us and both of us start pounding on the dashboard and using bad words, which we're not supposed to know, and all this stuff. But, you know, we're human beings, and get us in the right set of circumstances, and we'll have to repent.
This is a level
playing
field.
Then give it to God and forgive. Yep. Ultimately, forgiveness.
Thank you, David.
Comes, you know, after a season of repentance. But this is a command, so we have to remember it in that context. We have a couple of minutes before we have to sign off, Barry, and you always have something at the end that is that has a great deal of profundity to it. So now, I'd like to ask you to...
Excuse me while I look up profundity. I think you can say that on the air.
You can, yes.
Yes. Well, let's not forget the ultimate forgiveness, and that was Jesus Christ as the nails were being driven in.
Yes.
Into his hands and his feet. And he was bleeding to death.
Yeah.
And yet he still forgave those who were pounding the nails in. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing.
Yes.
Let's remember that when we have our pity pot parties oh, you know, this one insulted me, and this one called me bad names, and this one made fun of my shoes, or whatever it is. Go back to Jesus. Go back to Jesus, and think of what he was going through at that moment. Another teachable moment.
And remember that, you know, it's not about you. It's about God.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know somebody says something that's denigrating to you. I don't like to hear stuff about me either. I don't like to hear people denigrate other people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an opportunity when, if that wounds you, to give that to God.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for him to come in and heal that sore spot on your soul that takes the harpoons every time they come in,
right,
you know, and
right.
heal that. There'll always be scar tissue from the heel, but, you know, that's good. Make you stronger,
mm-hmm.
you know, because what people tell you they think you are, you're not that person.
No.
God knows who you are. Take it to God. And one day, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe it'll take 6 weeks or 4 years, but at some point, you're going to be stronger in that way. You're not going to react. You're not going to sin, you know, by letting your anger go to the point of making that person an enemy, you know, and wanting to in some way destroy them, because that's what our goal is. When we have an enemy, we have to destroy them.
Well, that's what the ultimate enemy wants you to do.
Exactly, because this is...
You play right into his hands.
The great enemy of humanity is the devil.
Right.
And I don't want to work with him. I'm tired of living in a world where people love to play his games. You know, but I'll be
Amen,
here.
Amen, David.
As long as I'm here and alive, I'll be here. Okay, anyway, we're going to have a lot of... If you have any comments, you can send it to Glorious Day in an email and put that in the subject line and send it to the radio station. And that email is WCNO@WCNO.com. We'd love to hear from you. Whether you agree or disagree, it doesn't really matter. We'd love to hear from you.
Sure.
And we might be able to deal with some of your comments on the air in future programs. And at some point, we're going to have an email that's just for this ministry, just for this program.
Yes.
And we'll be able to give you that, mm-hmm. and then we'll... But we'd love to hear from you either way. Barry, it's time to say good night and God bless.
Good night and God bless, David.
Amen.
Amen.
See you next time. Or listen, you're not going to do anything. You're going to hear us, right?
Yes. Okay. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? And when it's all been said and all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will love.